First Peter chapter 2 tonight. And thank him for his divine goodness towards us. By his mercy, we are not consumed each day. I'm thankful for the marvelous grace of God.
Amen.
That reaches down into cesspool of sin and lifts old sinners out and redeems them.
Amen.
By his amazing grace.
Yes.
Good to know him, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm glad I know more than just about him. I'm glad I know him.
Amen.
And what he's done. First Peter chapter 2, if you stand with me, please. Reverence to the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Underline that special word, tasted. That means more than just put in your mouth, spit out. It means digesting.
Amen.
Notice, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also a lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in sign a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Father, we pray now in Jesus' name that thou wouldest anoint us with your power. If you know what without you we can do nothing. We pray for that special touch that you can give only to preachers as they preach the word of God. Lord, I pray to reach out and speak to every heart in this building. Do a mighty work of God in our lives that you might be glorified through our living. Have your divine way now, and we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I lifted out those verses the word precious. I want to talk a few minutes about being precious to the believer, the saints of God. You know, when something is precious in our life, we guard it with everything.
That's right.
When something's valuable to us, we constantly take good care of it. And I'm glad, thank God, that God has some things that are precious to us. It has a very effect on our life when something is precious to us. I remember as a little 11, 12-year-old boy going from Macon, Georgia, where I grew up, to Columbus, Georgia, where my grandfather and grandmother lived. He was in the military. He was a sergeant in the Army, and one day he brought a young paratrooper home with him by the name of Jack Revolta. Jack Revolta made such an impact on my life when I was just 11 or 12 years of age. Jack Revolta was a paratrooper. He also was an Army boxer. He boxed in the Army. So he said to my granddaddy one night, do you mind if I take Donnie with me tomorrow night to the fight? He had a very effective way in my life in grooming me to join the United States Paratroopers when I got to be 17 years of age. He also had an effect in my life that I wanted to also box a little bit in the Army, but I found out that I got beat up too much. But I thought about Jack Revolta being so precious in my life as a young boy that I modeled my whole life after him for a while. I can remember how he wore his paratrooper hat, how he bloused his boots, pants in his boots, how he had chains in his trousers where he could snatch them out real quick and fight if he had to. I remember all that stuff. So when I got to be 17 years of age, I asked my dad when he signed for me to join the United States Paratroopers, and he said, I'm glad to. Amen. So I went off to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, because of the effect that Jack Revolta had on my life. He was precious to me. But you know, since then, somebody greater than Jack Revolta came into my life. Who's had a great effect on my life, and he's more precious to me than anything on planet Earth.
Yeah.
When I think about things like that, I'm glad the Apostle Peter, if you'll notice here, penned down these two epistles by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, and he uses one word, precious, over and over through these two epistles. When we think about somebody being precious or something being precious, we guard it wholeheartedly. But he also writes various things about what had become precious to him. Can you look back in your life and just reminisce a little bit on what has become precious in your life? I want to notice two or three things tonight, talking about what has become so precious in my life. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and verse 19, the precious blood of Christ that redeemed me has become so precious in my life. Look at those verses. For as much as you know, I'm glad for those few words there. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition, but with the precious blood of Christ. Aren't you glad, thank God, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and condescended down from glory, walked on this earth, wrapped himself in human flesh, died on that old rugged cross, shed that divine precious blood, so when you and I can be here tonight to worship him in spirit and truth. Isn't it wonderful to know him tonight? So great to be saved by the grace of God. He said the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. May I say to you tonight, there's nothing wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no fault.
Right,
he had no blemishes.
Amen.
He had no errors. He took sin upon himself for us, for you and me, so you and I could be redeemed by that precious blood. And nobody else has ever had that kind of precious blood.
That's right. Amen.
You who have been in the military, you remember when you joined the United States military, they gave you a blood type when they took a sample and they stamped it on your dog tag. That's in case if you got wounded, you wouldn't get contaminated or mixed up with some other blood and have a divine and horrible issue. I'm glad, thank God, that I've been washed in that perfect blood, the blood of the Lamb God. Amen. Isn't it wonderful tonight just to know that Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed that divine blood just for you and me? It was divine blood. I read a story years ago about a preacher went out with witnessing in his neighborhood. He knocked on this door. The little man came to the door and he began to talk to him about the Lord. The man said to him, "I'm not interested in this. I wish you'd just leave me alone." And the preacher kept on talking to him and witnessing to him. And finally he heard a little old voice from the back room said, "Is that somebody talking about Jesus?" And her husband said, "Yes, it is." She said, "Would you let him come back in and tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ?" She was laying on that bed dying. And the Lord sent that preacher by and praise God, that divine blood of the Lamb of God, that day saved that woman out of her sin and wrote her name in the Lamb's book of life. You know what happened to you when God spoke to you and God convicted you about being lost? You know what happened to you when you submitted, when you bowed down, you pleaded guilty, he took hell out of you and put heaven in.
Amen.
It's a wonderful night to be saved by the wonderful grace of God. Lord, have mercy. When I think about where what God has done for you and me, we ought to shout it out.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with most of us Baptists? We're too timid.
Yeah.
We're afraid we're going to be talked about. May I let you in on a little secret? You already talked about it.
Amen.
Amen. You either talked about being dead in church or being alive, being a hot wire. I'd rather be alive, hot wire, than being talked about being dead at the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather go home for him. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm saying to you that word precious, the precious blood of Christ is more important than anything on planet Earth.
Yes, it is.
Why? Because that's the element that God used to wash our sins away. How God takes an old red blood, takes an old black sinner, wash in divine red blood, and we come out white as snow. Lord, have mercy. Makes me want to run to Goobertown, Arkansas. When I think about what God's done for somebody like me who deserved to be put in the lowest part of hell, who deserved to be cast out, who deserved to be in the bottom part, and hey, I'm saying to you tonight, thank God that I'm saved.
Amen.
So we're talking about the precious blood that redeems. But notice the second thing, look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Hey, the precious Savior that's still alive. Amen. He said, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. I've been talking about it all night. He was crucified. He did die.
Amen.
Yes, he did. He was buried in a tomb. But he just wouldn't stay there. Amen. He arose from the dead.
Amen.
He did die. He did not take mandrakes and was passed out. No, no, no. He literally gave up the ghost. He literally died on that old rugged cross. He literally poured out his blood for you and me.
Amen.
When I think about what he's done, I like the song, now that he lives, hallelujah, he lives.
Amen.
I'm glad he's alive tonight, aren't you?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you can't see him. No, but I had to turn around and make sure he wasn't there. Amen. Some of my best times traveling in my automobile. Cut off all the noise, everything. Listen to the road noise and get to humming about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I get to thinking about what he's done, how he died on that old rugged cross, and how they placed him in that tomb. But how he refused to stay dead. Praise God, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive.
Amen.
You say, how you know he's alive? I talked to him a while ago.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we don't serve a dead God?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you don't know Buddha instead of God?
Amen.
Aren't you glad, thank God, he's alive in your heart?
Amen.
You know what keeps you going? Him. Amen. Had an evangelist friend of mine text me the other day and said, Brother D, said, I'm having open heart surgery. He said, I hope you'll pray for me. I said, I will. I said, but I want you to know, all I can do is pray. If you get healed out of that open heart surgery, he'll have to do it because he's the living one.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to have, the Lord willing, I'm going to have a procedure done March the 17th on my heart. It's nothing, they say it's not serious, but you know, you don't never know. And they're going to run a catheter up into my heart, what they call the Watchman procedure. Anybody familiar with it? The Watchman procedure. They go up in your heart, and the little old pocket where most all the blood clots form from and come up out of your heart that causes stroke. They put a little old catheter in there and run it up there, and they call it a parachute. And when they get it in there, they open it up like a chute, and it blocks that packet, that compartment there, so the blood clots can't come out. I thought, isn't that wonderful? I can't get away from parachutes. They're trying to turn around so I won't jump out of a parachute or wear one. Amen. But I'm saying, hey, all that's because he's alive.
Amen.
Amen. I like old Billy Kelly. Old Billy Kelly, I was listening to him preach up in Chattanooga, well out in North Bank, Tennessee at Lupton Drive Baptist Church, where Brother Bill Stafford at that time was the pastor. And then Danny Pryor became pastor. But I could see old Billy Kelly weighed about 400 pounds that night preaching. And he got talking about the Lord's coming. And he was talking about the Lord's life. He died, but he's alive, and he's coming back. And he got to jumping as high as the pulpit, 400 pounds. I said, how in the world can he lift that much off the ground? But you know what? He got to shouting and praying. He said, you listen, you hear the Lord, he's in everything. everything says he's coming. Said everything says he's coming. He's a coming. He's a coming. Because he's alive, he can come back. He said, you listen to your automobile motor running. It's a humming. He's a coming. He's a coming if you're cutting grass. Listen to the lawnmower. It's a humming. He's a coming. He's a coming. He's a coming. Next thing I know, that whole auditorium believed that. And they were shouting and running all over the place. I'm glad tonight he's alive and he is coming.
Amen.
Is he alive to you?
Amen.
You serve a dead God or alive God?
Alive.
I'm glad he's alive, aren't you? Then look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. We notice the precious faith that unites. Simon Peter said, notice, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the circumstance, through the righteousness of God, of our Savior Jesus Christ. Faith brought us into the family of God. Precious faith unites us together with the words with us. Notice what he said. Faith, like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God for saving faith.
Amen.
Thank God for uniting faith. Charles Spurgeon said, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. I'll tell you, I like to feel that Shekinah glory sometimes come down. I like to see it when it gets so thick you need a CNI dog to get around. I like it when it's real, don't you? When I talk about precious faith, praise God for that precious faith. He said over and over again in the Word of God, precious, precious, precious. How precious is he to you? He must be pretty precious here on Saturday night. Amen.
Amen.
He must be pretty precious to you when you give up all your activities to come to the house of God. Thank God for people who think he's precious.
Amen.
Amen. Notice something else. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The precious trials of faith that purifies us. Verse 7 said that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We could shout on the fact that these other things are precious, but he is more precious than anything. Think about the precious trials of life. When we're going through something, it doesn't seem too precious. But when we look back, thank God for the precious things of God. Amen. You know, sometimes when your best friend lets you down. Anybody ever had a best friend let them down? Best friend lets you down. You know who hurts you the most oftentimes? Those with whom you've done the most for. When I pastored in Cocoa, Florida, I had a young preacher man. I'd done more for him than anybody I've ever done for in my life in the ministry. And I'm telling you, he cut me to the core, or tried to. But God always protects.
Yes, he does.
Amen? Well, I'm trying to say, you know, that's a precious trial in your life that'll purify you. I'll tell you what it'll do for a little while. It kind of hinders you a little bit from trusting anybody. But you got to get out of that. Turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord take care of all that. He's the one that takes care of our battles, not us.
Amen.
And when we turn those things over to him, oh, maybe somebody's told a lie on you. No, I know nobody's ever lied on you. Amen. But I've had lies told on me. But hey, when it's not the truth, don't worry about it.
Right.
Only get upset when it's the truth. That's when it hurts me, when they say something that's not a lie, that's real truth. But I'm telling you, when somebody lies on you, turn it over to God and go on. I've had people tell things about me I do not like, but I can't do anything about it. Seems like everything you do goes wrong. Anybody ever felt like that? Everything you touch is just bad. It goes bad. Sometimes you want to quit touching things. But old Apostle Peter said the precious trials of God, God uses them to purify the child of God. Mm-hmm. I've written down, glass is put through many degrees of fire before it becomes transparent. And sometimes you and I, God has to put us through many degrees of fire and trial to get us where he wants us to be, what we ought to be for him. I don't know about you, but I'll be honest with you tonight. I just want all of him in my life.
Amen.
I want to be totally submitted and surrendered to the will of God. The most precious thing to the child of God is being in the will of God. Walking in that will. When you know you're in the perfect will of God, trials come and trials go. But precious things of God stand still and stays true. Notice something else. When I talk about the precious things, the precious promises of God that enriches us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. Promised to cover every possible need that comes to our lives. I'm glad he takes care of us, aren't you?
Amen.
This past year has been the roughest year in the world on Christians. I'm telling you, trials and trouble. I said last night to the preacher, evangelism, the field of evangelism has been probably hit harder than any other ministry on this side of planet Earth. But I'll tell you something, God has supplied every need. Every need. Every need. I've gone to the mailbox and opened up the mail. I'm talking about God, the precious provisions of God. I've opened up my mailbox and there'd be a letter from somebody I don't even know. I got a letter the other week from a fellow in Pennsylvania. I know I preached to him, but I don't know who he is. $1,000 in.
Amen.
What did you do? I shouted.
Amen.
Amen. But then I got that little old thank you card out. And I told him what a blessing he'd been. I'm just talking about the promise of God that enriches us and supplies for us. I have no need of anything. God has supplied everything. Don't feel sorry for me. Praise God, I got more than I deserve. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The good promises of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I think about promises. He called them exceeding great riches and precious. Isn't that wonderful? God has a promise. Somebody said there are 318 promises in the Word of God. Another person said there's a promise in the Scripture for every day. That's 365. I'm telling you, I believe the promises of God forevermore. Child of God. We don't know how God's going to do it, but God can choose to do it any way he wants to do it. Can you imagine that day when they went up to the Red Sea and there was a wall of water, fire back of them? Now they weren't trusting God, and God opened up that Red Sea and let them go by. I'm glad to thank God to the child of God, those precious promises, those exceeding precious, great promises. When we come up to that wall of water and the fire back of us, God parts the way for you and me to have what he would have us to have.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to know him?
Amen.
Can you remember that moment that God convicted you? Can you remember? I love to tell the story. You've heard it a thousand times. I lived in Macon, Georgia. My next door neighbor, Wayne Jump and Sue Jump. Sue was a Christian woman. Wayne and I were, and my wife were unsaved. Sue always was trying to get us to go to church, but we wouldn't go. Wayne and I made a promise to each other. I wouldn't go to church if he didn't go. He wouldn't go if I didn't go. So one night, Sue came over and knocked on the back door. And my wife had a hand in dough. Not money dough, but dough. She said, "Will you open the door?" And I opened the door, and it was Sue. I said, "Come in, Sue." And I said, "Phyllis is in the kitchen." So she went in there, and she said, "Wait a minute, Donnie." I stopped, and she said, "Won't y'all go to revival with me tonight?" I said, "What?" She said, "Yeah." I said, this is Tuesday night." "That's all right. They have a revival out in Lizella, Georgia." I said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "I'll tell you what, you get Wayne to go, I'll go." She said, "Well, get your clothes on." He said, "He's going." I said, "I don't believe you." So we made an agreement. We had a pact. He wouldn't go if I didn't go, and I wouldn't go if he didn't go. We were supposed to die before we broke those promises. And she picked up my telephone, called her home phone number. Wayne answered. She handed me the phone. I said, "Wayne." He said, "She twisted my arm." She fooled me. I said, "Does that count?" He said, "Well, I got to live with her." I said, "All right." So I decided to go with him. About 15 miles, we went to Lizella, Georgia that night. The Bethel Baptist Church. Went in that church first time, maybe the third time I've been to church. I went to Bellevue Baptist Church a couple of times, dating a girl, but she wasn't worth it. So I quit going to church. But that night when I went to Lizella, Georgia, at Bethel Baptist Church, Jim Stallings was preaching. He preached that night like I'd never heard anybody in my life. I didn't know him, but God got all over my heart.
Amen.
God convicted me. I didn't know what it was. I just knew somebody was messing with me. I didn't know Bible words. We walked out of that church that night. I told my wife, and my stepmother was with us. And I said, "I don't think I'll ever be the same again." I didn't get saved that night, but I sure got messed up. And I'm telling you, buddy, God began to operate on my heart, and I got harder and meaner. Somebody come by my house and visit me, not going to church, I'd run them off. There's a man, I didn't know Jim Stallings, pastor of the church in Macon, Georgia, where I live. I didn't know a man right halfway down the hill. I lived at the bottom hill. Went to Jim Stallings' church, Grace Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. 1010 Newburgh Avenue. I didn't know he was the one that was coming to get my children, riding church bus to go to church. One Saturday, he knocked on my door, and I opened the door. He said, "Mr. Pollard?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "We're having special family day tomorrow at church. I've been picking Don and John and Chris up, riding them to church, and we'd like for you and your wife to ride with us. Have the whole family. We're having family day." I said, "Mister, if you want my children never go on that bus again, you better never knock on my door again and ask me to go to church. Get off of my porch." That's what I told him. And he got off. But boy, I'm telling you, one night, there came a car down the hill. I didn't know the preacher's car. Never seen it before in my life, but I knew who it was. I was out in my car. We just bought that brand new Bonneville Pontiac station wagon with the wood grain size. I was out there, had me a CB put in that thing. I was out there, breaker one night, breaker. And I looked up and saw that car coming. I closed that door where the light dome light would go out and laid over in the front seat. I knew who it was, but I didn't know who it was. I thought it was a preacher, and he pulled on past my house, went up in Wayne and Sue, jumped the driveway. I just laid there. I knew Wayne and Sue wasn't at home. And so they backed out, and they got pulled up behind my car. I'm laying in my front seat. And I heard this fellow by the name of Jim Pollock say to Jim Stallion, "Well, Jim, they tell me this man will cuss you out and drop of a hat." Jim said, "Well, that's all right. I've been cussed out before." And they got up on my front porch and knocked on my door. I had a big shrubbery on my side. You couldn't see out of my front once you got up. So I eased out of my car, heading over towards Wayne and Sue, knowing they wasn't at home. And Phyllis looked out and said, "Honey, come get the front door. I got flour on my hands. Always making biscuits and tell attention." So I went and opened the front door, and there they were. Talked to me about the Lord. Tried to get me to get saved that night, and I told him I couldn't be saved. He said, "What do you mean you can't be saved?" I said, I just can't be saved. He said, "Why?" I pulled my shirt pocket and showed him them lucky strikes. I smoked 3 packs a day. I said, "You can't be saved smoking cigarettes. And I'm not ready to quit smoking." And he handed me a little New Testament. I said, "Show me in here where you can't smoke and be saved." He wasn't condoning my smoking. He was showing me my error and thinking I had to do something to get saved and qualify to be saved. I wouldn't touch it. But I promised him I'd go to church the next night. I love telling my folks.
Amen.
I told him, I said, I promise you I'll come to church tomorrow night. Well, I went to the machine shop the next morning. I was a machine shop foreman. I got sick 3 times. And I said, "Well, everybody gets sick and make an excuse to keep from going to church." I said, "I'll just go and won't listen. I'll lay out work for my 35 machinists. Won't pay no attention to what's being said." And that night they had a big old red-headed missionary from Texas. "Boy, I done good. I don't know anything," he said. I laid out all the work for the shoppers. And then when that preacher took over the invitation, brand new building, new church building, that preacher stood up on the front pew with his shoes on, got the weeping for sinners to come to God. Now you stand up in the front pew, they'll reprimand you for messing up the furniture, which is far more important than getting a sinner saved. Amen. He stood up in that front seat and got the weeping, begging for sinners to come to God. Then he said, "I know there at least one here tonight." I hit my wife. I said, "Well, he's in my house last night. He knows. He's talking. He's telling the whole place about me." God began to squeak my heart. On April 27th, 1968, on Wednesday night, I stepped out. And the Lord became precious to me.
Amen.
Amen.
And I bowed at the altar. And I pleaded guilty. And asked him to forgive me. My heart of unbelief had come into my heart and saved me. He did. He said, how do you know he did? I was there when it happened.
Right.
I know what took place. Question is this, has he ever become precious to you? I'm not talking about just being religious, man. I'm not talking about just being a church member. I'm talking about has he ever really became precious to you? Was there a time when he went inside you and messed and churned and tore everything asunder, and then when you pleaded guilty, put it back like he wanted it in the Lord? In other words, what I'm trying to say, if you've never been saved, tonight be a good night. Don't let church membership send you to hell. Don't let work send you to hell. Let trust in the Lord Jesus Christ bring you to heaven.
Amen.
When it's time to go. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. It is exceeding precious. If nobody likes you, he can do in your heart exactly what needs to be done. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I'm just not sold out like I ought to be. I'm just not surrendered like I ought to be. He's not exceeding precious in my life. He's precious, but he's not exceeding precious. There's other things that have priority over him. Might be a good night to surrender all those priorities to his priority. Let him have his divine way in your heart. Father, I pray you'll take the message now. Speak to every heart in this building. Thank you for what you're going to do. Well, I pray to also be filled with your people that would come and say, oh Lord, thank you for what you've done in my heart for salvation. For every work that you've committed in my life, thank you, Lord. Well, what we need tonight is a bunch of people who show gratitude for what you've done now. Have your divine way in this invitation, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What we singing before?
486.
You like to sing back tonight, you come. Right, just slip on out. Just slip on out and come tonight.
Speaking to you tonight, just yield to him, surrender. My brother, Brother Pollard shared with his heart tonight.
Amen.
Here recently, just a few weeks ago, a month ago, I did the same thing on a Sunday night. When you've got it and it's real, you want to tell somebody about it. and you want to tell them over and over again. It never gets old, that experience that you had, that experience with the Lord. It's great. It's powerful. It's mighty. It's wonderful to be able to share it. Why? Because it gives you the opportunity to relive it all over again. Even though we don't have to get saved all over again, it's like getting saved all over again when we share about it. That's what makes it so precious, doesn't it? But sad to say, over a period of time, sometimes we allow sin in our life. And sin tarnishes that relationship that we have between us and God. We lose that joy. We lose that zeal. We lose that preciousness. Sometimes we have to get out the old polish. We have to polish that relationship. We have to come with a humble spirit and a broken heart, and we have to confess that sin. And I'm going to assure you, when we confess it, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Reestablishes that relationship, and He becomes precious to us again. Let me ask you, has it been a sin in your life that has tarnished that relationship? The Lord, the church, His word, our faith, prayer, the things of God, are they not as precious as they once were? Some have come. They talked to the Lord tonight, maybe thanked Him, maybe rekindled that fire, that preciousness tonight, but maybe there's still someone else. The Savior is waiting. That's what we're singing tonight. He's waiting. He's waiting for that one. You may be here, as Brother Waller shared tonight, you may be here religious and lost. I was for years and years and years. My church membership wasn't going to get me there. My good deeds wasn't going to get me there. My good wasn't going to outweigh my bad. And had I died in that state, I would have died and went to hell. And one day I'd have stood before the Lord just as Jesus called, and I'd have said, "Lord, Lord, look what all I've done." And the Lord would have said, "Depart from me. Like that tonight. Tonight would be a good night to settle it once and for all. Maybe if you don't have that experience that you can share, maybe that's the reason why, because you've never really had that real experience with the Lord where you experience the power of God, that power of God of salvation. Won't you do it tonight? Let's sing another stanza.